All right, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is David Newman, and I am very excited to have as our special guest for today's teleseminar interview, Judy Weintraub. And Judy is the founder and CEO of SkillBytes. And in case you don't know, SkillBytes provides an easy publishing platform for professionals to attract prospects and turn them into hot leads. Hot. Hot. You got to wear an oven mitt. They're so hot. So Judy is an accomplished entrepreneur, business executive, and attorney, and is a best-selling author of The Essentials of Negotiating Effectively and How to Build Successful Business Partnerships. In addition to SkillBytes, Judy has founded or co-founded three other businesses and is an awardee of the Make Mine a Million Dollar Business Program, which is a national program that selects exceptional women business owners and provides resources and support to help them achieve annual revenues of over $1 million. So we are going to dive right in. Today's topic is top 10 tips for successful book authors. And if you are not a successful book author and you don't want to be a successful book author, I'm going to say that you're in the wrong place. You're in the wrong place. This is the wrong call. If you are a successful book author or you would like to be a successful book author, then you're in the right place. So feel free to sort yourselves accordingly, and let's jump in. So Judy, welcome to the call.
Thanks so much, David. Glad to be here.
So we've got just a tremendous amount of exciting things, and as you know, Judy, because we've talked about this for months and months, I'm so excited that we're actually finally doing it. Huge proponent of book publishing as a thought leadership platform, huge proponent of all the things in the ecosystem around book publishing that will help you sell more books, build your platform, build your consulting, coaching, training, speaking, facilitation practice, any of those sorts of things. So I've been looking forward to our time together for a long time. Let me jump right into the first question. And I get this question a lot. You get this question a lot. Why publish a book at all? Isn't that old news? Isn't that passé? Isn't that kind of so old school that people don't really read books anymore? And are books even relevant in today's marketplace? What are your thoughts there?
Interesting question, and you're absolutely right. I get that asked a lot in this age where there's so many new and tools out. But the fact is that the book industry is roughly a $4 billion industry per year. In fact, the ebook part of that is immensely growing. It's been over 200% growth for the last few years. And in fact, Amazon sells more ebooks now than paperback and hardcover books. So why is that? Well, books give you that instant credibility that you can't get from other mechanisms. When somebody knows that you're an author of a book, they get this instant perception that you are an expert or a leading authority in your field. And so that increases your influence and it builds trust. It also greatly increases your visibility because with a book, especially online, you now have access to a substantially larger market than you could otherwise reach. A well-written book can act as a magnet to attract the highly coveted clients that you're seeking. They'll seek you out instead of you having to find them, because when they learn of your expertise in your book, it's exactly what they're looking for, then they'll contact you to help them to implement the strategies that you talk about in your book. It can also doors to – I'm sorry?
No, I'm not sorry. I was going to sort of ask an immediate follow-on question based on what you just said, but go ahead and finish that thought.
I was just going to say it also opens doors to a lot of great opportunities such as speaking engagements and media interviews and even joint ventures that can help you boost your business. So there are amazing number of reasons for people to write a book today.
So let's say that we've made that sale. So people are, okay, I'm writing a book. It's not all about apps and, you know, ebooks and, you know, other sorts of things. It's a book and then everything that goes around the book. Well, what you said a moment ago, which I got so excited, I apologize for interrupting you. When you said about sharing your expertise, now the problem is many entrepreneurs and executives have a lot of expertise and they have varied expertise. So what do you recommend to authors that come in with what I lovingly call a grocery bag of topics, a grocery bag of expertise? How do you choose the best topic for your book?
I think there's a good system that I've developed to help authors choose the best topic. It starts with understanding what the principal objectives are for writing the book. Do you want to get more sales, grow your business? Are you primarily looking to give back or to share your expertise? Are you looking to educate your target market? There's a lot of different reasons why people want to write books. It's important to clarify what your principal reasons are or what your principal reason is so that when you're picking a topic, you can make sure that you're more likely to achieve that objective. Let's say you wanted to build a business. You might then want to look at what service or product or area of expertise that you have that you most want to focus on. What might bring you the greatest profit? Or maybe it's a product that you really enjoy the most. Or maybe it's one that you haven't focused on so far and it's got a lot of potential. So you figure out what product or service you might want to focus on. Then you want to identify who would be the target readers for the book on that topic. Understand what their pain or frustration or challenges or problems are with that particular topic and what you can say that will help them overcome the problem or obstacle or whatever. And the more you can identify about the demographics of that audience, their age, gender, income level, things like that, the more targeted your book can be to that audience, which will make your book resonate more with them. And they will get your message and they will want to seek you out after reading the book. The next step I suggest is to review everything or quite a bit of what's out there on the market already, what other books are out there, what videos are out there, what blogs, etc., and explore some of them. Make sure that you're going to be writing something that's a little different from everything else that's out there. And it may be that you find that there's stuff that you learn that you can then use in your business as well as in your book. If there's a lot of stuff out there, that's okay because it's probably a very popular topic, like diet books. It doesn't matter that there's a zillion different diet books. There's still room for more. However, if you don't find much out there, then you have to question, well, maybe it's because nobody's particularly interested in that topic. So you might want to consider maybe that's not a good topic if there's really nothing out there already. Or it might be that you're the first one. You could do a Google keyword search to find out if people are searching for information on that topic. And I'm going to be talking about how to do a Google keyword search a little bit later. But the idea would be to plug in your search terms and look to see if there's truly a good market. There are a lot of people who are searching for that topic. And then based on your research, you can refine your topic. You can make sure that you have a slightly different angle than everybody out there, and it'll give you a good idea for something that there's going to be a true market of people interested in your book.
Yes, 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 and yes. And wow, I'm just jotting some notes because you've said two or three things just in that one little segment that if I can reiterate, that I totally believe in and totally endorse wholeheartedly. And not a lot of publishing experts, by the way, feel this way. So the first thing I heard is market-driven publishing. figure out your expertise, figure out your purpose in writing the book, and then figure out what information and what advice and what insights and what guidance your target market is hungry for. So when your book, when your publishing project, when your ebooks, when they hit a ready and hungry market, you're saying not only will book sales ensue and ebook sales, but also services and coaching and consulting and speaking and other opportunities for your professional services, because you're solving that urgent, pervasive, expensive problem that initially you demonstrated by writing your book.
Exactly. Well said.
So that's the first thing I heard. And then the second thing, which I think is really, really important, is no guessing. Don't guess, don't hope, do the competitive analysis. And this is one thing, Judy, that just makes me crazy, and I'm sure it makes you crazy as well. I'll be talking to a leadership expert or a sales expert, and I'll say, well, how many other leadership books have you read? And they say, well, I really don't read leadership books. I just write them. I don't really read a lot of sales books. I just write them. I just teach. I teach my methodology. I teach my material. Now, I don't need to tell you, and I don't need to tell the folks listening, that these people are usually not market-leading geniuses in their field, because the market-leading geniuses in their field, whether it's sales, leadership, health, wellness, diet, legal, HR, IT, whatever it might be, they are constantly scanning the environment. Who's got a new book? What are the blogs in my space? What are, you know, who are some of the thought leaders? They're tracking the top 5 or 10 gurus in their field, and they're saying, okay, how can I zig where they zag? How can I carve out a true thought leadership platform that doesn't parrot, doesn't mimic, doesn't imitate, and doesn't regurgitate a lot of the same old stuff in the same old ways? Because this is one thing that, for me, in my professional opinion, spells death. If your publishing project is the same old thing in the same old way, the world does not need to hear more same old, lame old material. So, Judy, when you talk about your process of really sort of guiding people and coaching people to do that competitive sweep, and to really break new ground with an opinion, with a perspective, with a lens onto their expertise, because that's going to be the core of the value of their publishing project, that is huge. And I'm regurgitating all of this for my own benefit, really, to internalize it. To that I say amen, because it absolutely has to be unique, different, faster, better, smarter. It can't look the same and be the same and sound the same as all the other books in your category, because, you know, then you're a follower and you're not a leader in your marketplace and in your expertise.
Very good.
So that's my three cents on that. That's my 3 cents on that. Any other thoughts on that before we move on?
No, I mean, I guess one other would be that you want to think about a system. Systems sell a lot better than just bullet points or checklists or something like that. So choose a topic around which you can provide a system for people to follow.
I like that. So people can plug into a proven process. And if in your book, your publishing efforts, you're giving people basically the building blocks of the machine, they build the machine, and if they do what others have done, they will have the success that others have had in your process in implementing your, you know, your 17 steps, your, you know, three-pronged approach to whatever it might be. You're giving people basically a template to follow that can be considered a system.
Right.
So let's move on. One of my favorite things, I know you have some expertise and some wisdom to share on this, the titles, oh my God. I've seen so many bad titles. I've seen so many goofy titles, even on content that is terrific. I mean, really great content that is completely hobbled and completely buried by just an off title or a weird title or an ineffective title. The title's a major, major factor when people are looking to read your information, buy your book, buy your ebook, making that purchasing decision. Can you share some tips on crafting a great title?
Definitely. And you're right. That's one of the first things that people look at when they're considering buying a book is the title. So if you optimize the title, you have a much better chance of persuading somebody to purchase your book. Some rules of thumb. Shorter is better than longer. And for this, you're not restricted, but the best titles are ones that are about 5 words or fewer. And if you need to have more than that, consider having a subtitle. You might want to have a subtitle, for instance, with 8 more words, and that's better than a full title of something that's longer, 10, 12, 13 words, whatever. So try to keep it short. Use simple language. If it's got a complicated word in the title, somebody's going to say, well, that book's going to be too hard. I don't want to have to think that hard. So think 8th grade education level or lower. Try to describe the benefits in the title. If people see what they're going to get out of the book, the solution to their problem, they're more likely to buy it because it's going to speak more to them. And they're going to appreciate that in a short read, they will be able to solve a problem that's been hindering them, causing them, distracting them from other things that they should be doing, taking their time or money or whatever. Active words are better than passive words. So, for instance, if you have a book on health, stay healthy is better than staying healthy. People resonate more with active words. I mentioned the Google keyword term tool before. You can check on Google keywords to find out what people are searching for and put some of those search terms right in your title so that when somebody is looking for information on a particular topic, your book will come up when they do the search, which will make it a lot, you'll have a lot more people finding your book and access to those people who might want to buy it. In addition, it gives you the idea of what might be a good website when you want to set up a website for your book and for derivative products to be able to check to see if there's a domain available with that with the search terms that you want to use and the terms you want to use in your title. You also want to think about whether you're going to write a single book or whether you might want to write a series. Because if you have in mind a series, your title might be different from the title you'd come up with for a single book. And if you're not quite sure whether you're going to write a series, then you want to come up with a title that would work for a series as well as for your single book. And then again, you want your title to be memorable. So some eye catchers, some popular titles that catch people's attention, top 10 tips or best kept secrets, things like something that's controversial, such as the 4-hour work week, people get attracted to. Or you can use lyrics to a popular song or a catchy phrase. Those things will make your title more memorable and more likely to have people interested in reading your book. Once you come up with a title or maybe a couple, test it out. Run your proposed title by some people to make sure that they get the same connection to your book as you want them to get. If people look at your title and they don't have a clue about what your book's about, chances are your title's not going to work very well. So let me give you an example of one of the authors that came into SkillBytes. She had a book on government contracts, and her target market was women-owned businesses. Her original title was something like Essential Strategies for Becoming a Successful Government Contractor. Now, it's not a very active worded title. It doesn't say anything about her target market, woman-owned.
Whoops, Judy, did we lose you? Hey, Judy, are you there? Oh, we may have lost Judy. Let me see if I can get her back real quick. Please stand by. All right. So Judy will be back momentarily. Apologies for the disruption. I just wanted to jump in. I'm actually glad, in a sick way, that she got dropped off, because I always listen during these interviews. I always listen for the million-dollar idea. And we're not even halfway through the program yet, and the million-dollar idea of baking your keywords into the title of your book is just genius. So baking the keywords into the title of your book and then having the corresponding website domain, so it's a keyword-rich domain, that's what the propeller head people call it, you know, the chip heads, the computer folks, a keyword-rich domain that has the actual keywords embedded in the .com domain name that you want. That's just genius, because then the website comes up on those searches, the book comes up on those searches, the ebook, the training program, whatever empire you're building around that book totally comes up around the keyword search. So that is absolutely brilliant. While Judy's dialing back in, I also wanted to give you guys some resources, and she has an offer that I think is a fabulous offer. But just so you know Judy's empire, I've set up a special program that gives you a discount, a 10% discount on Judy and Skillbytes and all of their services. So to access that, it's doitmarketing.com/Judy. So if you want to pop over there now, have a look at it. It's www.doitmarketing.com/Judy, J-U-D-Y, Judy. And then Judy should be back here in a moment or two. And I just sent her a note, so I apologize again for a little technical glitch here. Let's see if I can get her a little more info this way. So, well, I'm gonna sort of press on, because I've got some other things to share with you. If Judy dials back in, great. And if not, we'll reschedule Judy, and we'll just talk here for a little bit about book publishing and top 10 tips for authors. As some of you know, unless you've been hiding under a rock or that this is your first exposure to me anyway, I have a new book. And so the Do It Marketing book is actually out there. One of the things that Judy and I were going to talk about, but I'll kind of spearhead this conversation, is how to get testimonials. How to get testimonials and endorsements and even early reviews for your book. And this strategy, it does not depend on having a traditionally published book. You can do this with a self-published book. You can do this with a hard copy book. You can do this with an e-book. It doesn't matter. I think what you know, the secret, and I hope you're sitting down, there's a big, giant secret around endorsements and testimonials and reviews, and I hope you're ready. Here it is. It's a single word. The single word is ask. Ask. That's all you have to do. So, you know, that's the magic to a lot of things around marketing and a lot of things about getting help for your business and about getting reviews and endorsements and testimonials. So, I'll give you a quick example. So people look on the back of my book and they say, oh my gosh, you got Marshall Goldsmith to endorse your book. You got John Janch to endorse your book from Duct Tape Marketing. You got the fabulous CJ Hayden from Get Clients Now to do your book. You got this person and that person and oh my gosh, how did you do this? And I said, well, it's pretty simple. I asked. So what does that ask sound like? It's a very simple email or phone call. If you know them personally, obviously phone call is great. If you don't know them personally, and I would say I knew probably about one-third of my endorsers and recommenders and reviewers personally, and the other two-thirds I did not, until I reached out to them, have any sort of personal relationship with them. Here's what the email sounds like. And this will be on the recording. You can download this later. You can transcribe it word for word if you want to. And you want to customize this and tailor it, obviously, to your own situation as well. But mine sounded like this. So I'll give you the example from my friend John Janch at Duct Tape Marketing. I said, "Dear John, I have been a huge fan of your work for years, not only as a small business owner myself, but as a marketing speaker and marketing author. I'm writing a new book. Would you be wonderful enough," and again, this is my language, my personality, my persona, you want to make this into your own kind of language, "would you be wonderful enough to take a brief look at a PDF draft, and if you like what you see, might you give me a very brief endorsement that I could include on the jacket of the book? Now, what's in it for your endorser? Obviously, you're giving them a genuine compliment. You are reaching out as a peer, as both a peer and a fan. You're giving them the specifics of why you've looked up to them, how you've looked up to them, all of those sorts of things. And you're asking for a very small favor. Would you be willing to take a look? Not read my book cover to cover. Not, you know, tell me what you think of the idea on page 266. Just will you be, could you glance? Could you skim? So keep it light, folks. Keep it light. And then put in the conditional phrase, if you like what you see. If you like what you see, would you be kind enough to share a kind word or two for me to include on the book jacket? So for them, it's exposure. For them, it's another impression in front of the same target marketplace. So if you're a leadership guy or gal, you approach a dozen leadership experts. If you're a sales guy or gal, you approach a dozen sales experts. If you're a health and wellness person, you approach a dozen luminaries in the areas of health and wellness. So the key is people that your audience would recognize and respect, and people who you recognize and respect. And all you do is ask. Now, here's what I found, interestingly enough. I probably asked about 30 people, and I have a Google Doc on this, so I tracked it, because you have to track who did you ask, when did you ask, when did you send the email, what did they respond back with, are they a yes, are they a no, what's the time frame for getting the book blurb or the endorsement back to you, so there's a little bit of tracking on your part. But I asked probably 30 people. I got 18 yeses, and I got 12 no's. Now, if I hadn't asked anybody, of course, I would have had zero superstar celebrity endorsements. I asked people, and I got the kindest, nicest rejection notes that I've ever received. So, for example, I asked Guy Kawasaki. He sent me a very nice note back saying, "I am just crushed with projects, can't take on anything more. Book sounds great. Best of luck with it." I mean, just gracious, wonderful, kind. But it was a no. So it doesn't matter how gracious and kind and wonderful. It's like, no. Other people, and I'm not going to name names in the unkind category or in the psychotic category, because I've got both. You know, find me at some point when we're doing an event together and buy me a drink, and I'll tell you the psychotic people. And so, you know, it's the old sales adage, right? Some will, some won't, move on next. Some will, some won't, move on next. Now, the people that I asked, here's what I found in my constellation of small business marketing, entrepreneurship, sales, social media, all of those sorts of things. You know, that's my world. That's what my book is about. The Do It Marketing book is centered on those concepts. So I sought out people to endorse the book, review the book, blurb the book, who were also in that world. What I found is that the superstars, the people who were like way famous, the Marshall Goldsmiths, the Seth Godins, number one, these people answer their own mail. They answer their own email. No minions, no layers, no secretaries, no nothing. It's them, and it's them, and they respond quick. It's the middle level, typically, of, you know, kind of wannabes, rising stars, et cetera, people whose names you would know, but who are not at the Seth Godin, Marshall Goldsmith, Jeffrey Gittimer level. The people in the middle were the toughest ones to get a hold of. You know, they're the ones that outsource everything, that have the phalanx of assistants and partners and God knows what they have going on. And those are also the people, if I can be brutally honest, that are just rude, self-centered pigs. Now, some of those people who are not rude, self-centered pigs were very kind and very generous and we did go through the layers. We did go through the process. They did either review the book, endorse the book, something else, but many didn't. So most of my no's came in that middle level. Very few superstars said no to me, which is weird. I know it's weird, but it's true. The middle layers where I got most of my no's. I got ignored maybe two out of the 30. Two or three people, I could just never get a response. And by the way, the follow-up, and this is a sales follow-up, it's a marketing follow-up, it's a book endorsement follow-up, it sounds like this. You take the original email, you forward it to them, you have a one-line note at the top. It says, "Dear Bob, just resending this in case it got lost in the shuffle. Please let me know. Thanks in advance, David." That's it. So when I sent that second note, just resending the below in case it got lost in the shuffle, I go, "Oh, sorry, I do. This did get buried. I do want to help you out. Yes, yes, yes." You know, sending two or three more of those, if it goes into a black hole, it's done. Move on. The answer is no. Next. So that's the key with that. But the magic is ask. You know, ask. And you'll be amazed at, you know, the superstars and the people who, you know, you might think that you're a nobody. And by the way, that's wrong. So you're not a nobody, even if you think you are. You know, if you're a thought leader, emerging, established, aspiring, whatever it is, whatever level you're at, there are people who are willing and eager and waiting to help you. Now, you might not know them. You might not know the fact that they're willing and eager to help you. But I will tell you, out of the 30 people, you know, I knew 10 of them. 20 were strangers. I asked. So, you know, marketing 101, you greatly increase the chance of getting what you want if you ask for it. So I know we promised you how to get the reviews, the
David?
Testimonials, and the endorsements. Yes, you're back.
I don't know what happened. All of a sudden, I didn't hear you. Yes.
Well, so now you're back, and now people can hear us, and that's awesome.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yes.
I covered the reviews, testimonials, and endorsements. I don't know if I covered it as well as you did, but I covered it from my perspective. Let's talk about the next thing I wanted to ask you, Judy, and a lot of people either don't know about this or forget to do it. How do you include opt-in opportunities in your book and why it's vital not to forget this step?
Right. It's such a clever idea, and it's perfect for ebooks. The reason why you want to do it is because you want to know who is reading your book. If you're handing your book to somebody, then, of course, you know who it is. But if somebody's buying it on Amazon, you will have no idea who that person is because Amazon doesn't give you the list of the people who are buying your book. However, if you provide something of value in your book where somebody has to fill in their contact information in order to get that, then you can get their contact information and follow up with them. So just as you have opt-in opportunities on websites, you can put them right in your book. You can have an opt-in that refers somebody to your e-zine or newsletter or a white paper that you've written or perhaps to a video or an audio or maybe even a consultation. a free consultation with you if they will click here and then go to a landing page where they provide their contact information. I recommend that you put at least two or three of these in your book so that people who read the beginning of your book and may not continue, they might see your opt-in opportunity and sign up for it versus somebody who might skip around and maybe get to the end of your book. They'll see an opt-in opportunity there and they might want to do it. Or somebody who's just looking on Amazon, reading the sample page and sees an opt-in opportunity on the sample page and likes it and gives you their information, they may not even have bought your book. So how do you go about doing this? Well, first of all, you have to determine what you want to offer, and it should be something of a fair amount of value to the people who would be reading your book. Then you want to set up a landing page where you're going to get them to put in their name and email address so that you can forward the information to them and maybe even get a phone number if you can. That could be optional. And then you'll have a thank you that will go to them with either the freebie itself or a link to get the freebie. And then you want to have a follow-up campaign so that you can nurture those prospects. It could be a few more emails. It could be a phone call. It could be offering them more free stuff, webinars, for instance, or maybe after you've offered them a white paper and they haven't gotten in touch with you, maybe at that point you offer a free consult or something like that. You got to make sure that it works right, so you want to test it out pretty thoroughly. And if you're going to have your book available in print as well as an ebook, make sure you take out those click here's for the opt-ins and put in the URL for somebody to be able to type that in and into their browser and access it that way, because obviously you can't click here in a book. And if you can make it a memorable link to your opt-in, then people are more likely to do it. So that's, in short, the why and the how to add opt-ins right into your book.
Well, and while I was ranting and raving about the reviews, testimonials, and endorsements, I did point folks to doitmarketing.com/Judy. Which is where we have our special offer set up. I did not tell people about the special discount. So let's just take a little detour and share with folks what you have prepared for them because they participated in today's call.
Sure. Well, I'm delighted to have everybody on the call today. And as my gift to the people who are listening, we have actually two offers for you. The first is, we have some author packages for people who are interested in writing a book where we provide an ebook template and guidance on how to write a book and editing services and getting your book on Amazon, etc. We have three different packages available to fit people's different needs and budgets. And for our listeners today, you'll get 10% off of the author package of your choice. You just use the coupon code 10% NEW for Newman, and you'll get 10% off of your author package. But you need to do this by Friday, June 14th, because that code will expire at the end of the day on June 14th.
And the 10, just so people know, because both 10 and percent can be symbols, can you walk us through the actual letters and digits that we're talking about?
Yes, it's the number 10, 10, the percent sign, N-E-W.
Got it. 10 and the percent sign, N-E-W. So 10% new, which is the number 10, the percent symbol, N-E-W. And the place to pop in there is doitmarketing.com/Judy. Just wanted to put that in there because
right.
While I was on my own here for a little bit singing and dancing, I mentioned that Judy has something special, and when she comes back, she's going to tell us what it is. So now we know what it is, and that's awesome. Let's talk a little bit about...
Right, so when you go to that...
Yeah, go ahead.
David, let me just clarify. When you go to the Do It Marketing / Judy, you'll be at the page where you can then select the services and the packages, and you'll see what they spell out, and it's when you order one of those packages, that's when you put in your code.
Yes, exactly. Perfect. Well, let's talk about... I think what a lot of people are missing, and this is true whether they're a speaker, primarily a consultant, an executive, talk about the author bio, because that's another place where marketing either happens and it's a bullseye, or marketing totally goes off the rails and it's a huge missed opportunity. So what should we include in our author bio?
It's interesting how many people look at the author bio when they're considering whether to buy a book. I think it's in part because they want to make sure that the person has the right credentials. So they're not going to be reading a book by somebody who really doesn't know what they're talking about. So you absolutely need to include your qualifications in the author bio, whatever academic degrees you have, your years of experience, whatever awards you might have gotten or accomplishments. If you're published, definitely you want to include things like that. Your author bio is a great opportunity for you to promote your business so you can talk about the products and services that you offer. You don't want to spend a lot of time doing that, but you can put in a plug. A lot of people are interested in finding out more about you personally, so you might want to include information about your family, if you're married or have kids or whatever. Some of your big interests, if you have any pets, where you live, things like that. You also want to include your contact information so that your readers have an opportunity to reach out to you if they would like to. And then if you could include a call to action in your author bio, that might be your opt-in opportunity right there in your bio where you offer a free consultation or a white paper or a discount or something like that, to get people to take action right away when they've finished reading your book. That's a great way to use your author bio as well.
So some people, this may be their first book that they're embarking on. They may already have a book and want some additional products around the first book, or they may want to start a new project that may be a book or it may be some other kind of product. So can you share, Judy, some of the profit potential of all the other products you can create from your old book or that you might want to think about building into and adding to your new book?
Sure. Books, when you write, especially when you write a short ebook, there's so many different derivative products that you can come out with that you can expand the profit potential of the information that you provided in your initial book. And you can use your book in a variety of ways as well. So, for instance, if you write a short ebook, you can give it away and use it as an opt-in on your website to capture more leads. You might have an ebook on one topic for one audience, and you can write another book with 80% of the same content for another audience. For instance, one of my authors wrote a book on marketing for spas, and then she turned around and used a good portion of that material to write a book on marketing for beauty salons. Different market, but she got to use most of the content over again. Very easy, two books, and she gets a lot of customers that way. Likewise, you can write a short, a series of short books on sort of different topics. So maybe one book on pre-launch marketing for books, and another book on post-launch marketing for books, and another book on some other aspect of books, maybe how to write books. So there's lots of different series that you can write right around your book. You can have your book recorded into an audiobook or printed print books that you can hand out. You can have it available in bookstores as well as online. You can create training videos to show people how to implement some of the things in your book. And a neat way to use it is to develop a home study course that somebody could purchase, or a workbook that can go along with the ebook. And one of the people that I was talking to recently wants to take her book and design a guide around it for having workshops where she's not even in attendance, but her book could be used in a company that could use it and have a guidebook for guiding workshops on her topic, which is leadership. So there are lots of different ways that you can take that content, repurpose it into these other derivative products, which could be significantly greater revenue than the book itself.
Absolutely. No, that's fantastic. And again, you know, none of this happens by accident. So this needs to be an intentional plan that starts with the core book, whether it's a full-size book or a hard copy book, ebook, you know, smaller book, just to showcase your expertise. I also love what you said about repurposing and repackaging. You know, spa marketing, for example, 80% the same as salon marketing. I mean, just brilliant. So sometimes we find ourselves, we're writing one book, but really we're writing three or four or six or who knows how many, because 80% of the core content might be the same, but it's for a different audience, a different context, or a different application.
And then there's so, lots of ways besides the derivative products as well to leverage your book. As you know from your books that you've written, David, number one, you got to let people know that you're an author. So put it in your email signature. Underneath your email signature can say author of whatever. Then every time you send out an email, that will be there. So people will see that you are an author. Make sure you put it in whatever proposals or bids that you put out there. And communicate it to all your current clients, your past clients, your prospective clients. Let everybody on social media know. Issue a press release. Get the word out that you're an author. And use your book as a giveaway. When you meet people at networking events, instead of giving them a business card, give them a copy of your book if they look to be a really good prospect for you. Go to trade shows and offer that as the freebie for people giving you their business cards, or sponsor events and have your book as a raffle item. There's so many things that you can do with your book to help you grow your business.
So one thing that we started talking about earlier, and I still think we have a little bit of time to dig into if you want to, is, and again, when you dropped off the call, I'm not sure if you could hear me, I said about 20 minutes ago that I'm always listening for the million-dollar idea in these interviews, and you've given several, by the way. But the one that I called out specifically is the keyword-rich book title and then the keyword-rich domain that specifically uses in the .com domain name the same keywords that people are proven to be searching for when they're looking for your expertise. Can you share a little bit more about identifying those keywords to use in your book so you get found?
Absolutely. And no, I didn't hear you, but what was interesting, I wasn't sure if you dropped off or I dropped off. So I actually went into that, but I guess I went into that in a void. The Google keyword search tool is really amazing, and it's what's really great about it is it's free. If you don't know where it is, just do a search on Google keywords, and up will come the website that you can click on. All you have to do is type in a word or words or a phrase that you want to find out how many people are searching on. And then you've got that little box where you've got to type in the letters so that they know that you're a human. And when you click submit, you will get a chart back, which will show not just the words that you're searching on, but a whole lot of other variations that are relatively close. So you can see which ones are being searched on the most. You'll get back the level of competition, high, medium, or low. High competition means that a whole lot of other people are using the exact same terms to get people to find them. And that's not so good because then you get lost in the shuffle. So what you really want is search terms that show low competition. And then you'll also see the number of global people searching for those terms on a monthly basis and local people searching for those terms on a monthly basis. If the terms that you're looking for show 1,500, 2,000, 4,000 people searching, that's really low. That's going to take a lot of time before people find your book. You really want to find terms that are returning about upwards of 50,000 a month, because then there's a whole lot of people looking for that topic who will hopefully find your book if you use those terms, because when they're searching for that topic, your book will come up, your domain will come up, and they'll find you. So it's pretty easy to use, and as I said, it's free, and it's very helpful.
Absolutely. Well, so in our last couple of minutes, I want to remind people, of course, where they can connect with Judy, and relative to today's offer, it's www.doitmarketing.com/Judy. And if you do decide that one of those three packages that Judy mentioned, or really anything that you see on there, is of interest, you should certainly connect with Judy directly. The three publishing packages, though, the discount code for those is 10% new, which is the number 10, 10, the percent symbol, and new, N-E-W. So 10% new is your key to those savings. And those go away on Friday, Judy, is that right?
That's correct.
Okay,
yep,
so we have until quickly. Friday. Today's the 12th, Friday's the 14th, so that's your special bonus and your special bonus for being on today's call and listening to this fabulous information. Do we have time to share just a few more ways to leverage your book to grow your business? Are there some parting words, some parting tips that we have not yet talked about?
Well, I also wanted to mention that I have an ebook called Write a Book Easily that incorporates a lot of what I've covered here today, as well as some other thoughts. And I would be happy to provide a copy of that to anybody who emails me and says, please send me your book. And my email is judyklbites.net, SKILLBITES.net, and Judy, JUDY. So that's another offer for the people on the call today. And to answer your question, David, there are lots of ways to leverage your book. But one neat way that I was reading about recently is to arrange with people who have sort of a similar target market as the target market you're searching for in your book, to provide affiliate products right in your book. So, for instance, one of my authors writes on dog training. She could hook up with somebody who sells dog food, and if she likes their dog food, she could write about it in her book, provide a link to the website of the company providing the dog food, and she could get a commission on anybody who buys dog food after reading her book. So another way that doesn't cost you anything, use ebooks to their full advantage and get some commissions.
So that would be, in a resources section or a recommended products and services section, you could list out those links that would pay out an affiliate commission. And obviously, they should be products that you believe in, that you do endorse, that you do want to have your name and your brand associated with in a positive way. But it's also a source of affiliate revenue.
That's right.
Which is great. Cool. All right. Well, this has been fantastic. And I just want to encourage you, if you're listening to this with us live here, if you're listening to the recording afterwards, we have a lot of folks saying, oh, I can't make it. Will it be recorded? The answer obviously is yes, it will be recorded. So, and some of the recording is even Judy talking, and it's not me filling time in the middle of the call for 7 minutes, but that's okay. It was fun, and I'm so glad, Judy, I'm glad you called back in. And I'm also pleased to say we didn't lose a single participant. We did not lose a single participant while you dropped off. So I jumped in, so thank you, everyone, for sticking on the call. You know, I always appreciate when my ranting and raving is of some use and some value to people. So pop over, have a look right now at www.doitmarketing.com/Judy. The discount code is active now through Friday, June 14th. It's 10% new, the digit 10, 10, the percent symbol, N-E-W. And, we've been looking forward to this for months, Judy. You delivered home run value. I so much appreciate you, and thank you for being on with today. You'll get a link, folks, to the recording. If you want to re-listen, and I do recommend, by the way, that you replay and re-listen to this teleseminar in particular, because Judy's content per minute was off the charts. So you'll want to take notes. You want to capture some of the things that she shared and that we talked about. And Judy, any final words of farewell from you before we wrap up?
I look forward to working with everybody, and I encourage everybody to write a book.
Awesome. All right, Judy, thank you, and thank you, everyone, for listening. Have a great rest of your week.
Bye-bye.